Let us prepare our hearts for our scripture reading through prayer. God of all glory, Lord of all words spoken and unspoken, touch our hearts with your discerning spirit. As your word is proclaimed, may we make it a part of our very being, that we may gladly bear it from this place of worship. May your scriptures truly become a light unto our path, now and forevermore. The first scripture reading is from John 10, 1 through 10. Let us listen to the word of God. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading comes to us from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. On page 886, let us listen to the word of God. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. There's a story Reverend Thomas Daniels tells. It's about American cattle ranchers, and these ranchers travel to Australia to learn how to cattle. You see, the reason they go is because Australian cattle ranchers for years were outperforming American ranchers. So they wanted to find out why. And after visiting the ranches and meeting with the ranchers, they didn't really notice much of a difference. Until one American whose curiosity as he was traveling noticed that he didn't see any fences. How do you have a ranch without fences? At least that's how we do it here in America. So he asked them why they did it. So the Australians replied, "There's a lot of time involved in fences. You have to build and maintain these fences. It's not really worth all the work. There's a lot of money involved, so we don't do it that way." And so he inquisitively asked, then how do you keep all the cattle from wandering off? "We dig good wells with plenty of good water. If you have ample and good water, the cattle won't run off." That's what made the difference. Australian ranchers were outperforming Americans because Americans were spending so much time and resources in building and maintaining fences, miles and miles of fences. They don't build fences in Australia. Instead, they dig wells. The funny thing is, you don't see it in the cattle industry only. You see it all over America. Americans are very good at building tall, huge fences. Of course, it depends on who you ask these days. But I'm talking figuratively. You're either on one side or the other. And we've seen it in politics, and you either pick one side or the other. On all the major issues, it seems like we're forced to pick a side. We like to build fences. It seems like it's almost the American way. Americans are the great fence builders. That's the way it goes in our society. We've been building fences for years. With the Cold War escalating, Sputnik and the Great Space Race, it escalated to even an arms race. It's not only the way Americans live, but it's the way our humanity seems and the world. A few years ago, I had a chance to go to Berlin, Germany, and I saw remnants and visited where the Berlin Wall was. Visited the Berlin Wall Museum. Some of you were around when it was built. And many of you, I'm sure, remember when it came down. Dr. Seuss' book that I referred to, the Butter Battle book, shows us in a simple way how we've moved beyond fence building to the might of our military. I heard the other day how Albert Einstein wished he never wrote that letter. Fence building seems to creep into all aspects of our lives. It happens in the church as much as it happens in other places. We start with accusations and finger pointing all too often instead of grace and forgiveness. You see, the world hurts us. Church leaders disappoint us. And instead of seeking reconciliation, we lob grenades over the fences that we build, not always aware of the casualties that can occur because of it. We make signs outside our churches saying, "Come, join us," or "All welcome." Yet I wonder at times if we really mean that we'll accept all. Do we really mean that? There's a particular story in Scripture about fences and wells. When Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well, you might remember the story. By all social conventions, there was a large wall of division. Many fences were built for a Jewish rabbi to be speaking to a Samaritan and to a woman and to an adulteress. It just wasn't an accepted thing. Yet he approaches her because he's the good shepherd. When she asks him for a drink from the well, here's what he says. "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus doesn't build fences. He digs deep wells filled with fresh, living water. And that's what Jesus does for each of us. God comes into our world and lives as one of us. He loves us unconditionally. He accepts us as broken as we are. And instead of building up fences, he builds these deep wells full of living water, even for a Samaritan woman adulteress. Yet, unfortunately, the fence builders of the world are threatened. So they find a way to kill Jesus. And Jesus dies because he doesn't act the way the rest of the world does. He doesn't build fences. Yet the wells Jesus provides never seem to dry up because he defeats death and is raised from the dead. And the wells that Jesus provides are so deep and filled with such living water that the first church gives us a great example of how to dig wells in our church today. So instead of spending our efforts on building and maintaining fences, we have a story that tells us how to dig wells. And if you look at Acts closely, the scripture we just read, we are told how to dig wells. And when we dig wells, instead of building fences, God can do incredible things. This is what we're called to do. These things: teach, fellowship, breaking bread, prayer, giving, and worship. These few things provide deep wells And when the church does these things, then God adds the number daily. So we have instruction from the first church in 33 AD from those who were with Jesus, the great well digger, on how to dig these wells. And first, we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. We don't just study the Bible like another book. These disciples took their spirituality, their growth, seriously. One pastor puts it this way: every time one of their gifted teachers was teaching, they were dialed in. In the early church, they believed that personal spiritual growth was important. Jesus touched them, and they wanted to be as much like him in every way. That's really why we're on earth, to become like Jesus, isn't it? Lots of people take their golf game or their bank account or their career seriously. Yet the most important thing that we're called to is our relationship with God, to become like Jesus. It often gets neglected if we're not intentional about it. And the truth is that giving yourself to spiritual growth brings the greatest payoff. Devotion to the apostles' teaching isn't fence building. It's about digging wells. That's what we're called to first. Another way to dig our deep wells is through table fellowship. Imagine sitting at a table dealing with the struggles you face on a daily basis, and the person next to you prays for you. They voice to God your struggles and your concerns and your hopes. There's nothing more powerful than table fellowship and prayer. Not a speaker or a program or an agenda. That's what Jesus did. He broke bread around a table, because every day we sit around a table and we eat. We need only to recognize that God is present with us at the table that we sit, that we break bread with Christ and with others, and that we must pray for one another, that our wells can be filled with living water. Now, the first church dug deep wells by giving to anyone who had need as well. Instead of spending resources on buildings and maintaining fences, they gave to those in need. It says this: they lived in the anticipation that Jesus could return any time. So Hal Seed, a pastor, says they let go of their stuff and reached out to help one another. They invested in positive and eternal priorities and in people in needs and in things that last longer than a latte or go deeper than a new truck. Certainly material things aren't bad, but God says that the things that will last are people and his word. So whenever possible, we ought to invest in those things. The last instruction from the early church is to worship God in the temple. Now, I know a lot of people who say they worship God at home or on their morning jog. We can worship God with our family or on vacation or in nature, because we are worshiping and praising God in all that we do, and God's presence is everywhere we go. Yet the early church knew they were to set aside a special place to worship. We're called to make a joyful noise unto the Lord together as a community, where we can pray for each other and listen to the word of God and experience the Holy Spirit in this place. For at least 1 hour a week, we aren't building fences, where we fill this well with living water. We go where the Good Shepherd leads us. We worship God together as a church. Now, this is the way the first church was built. Certainly, they weren't perfect, but instead of building fences, they were digging wells. There are thirsty souls. They're in here, and they're out there. And they all need the living water of God's love and mercy. They don't need any more fences. We all need the quenching water that Jesus provides from deep within, those deep wells that he's built. Now, as the summer comes, it's easy for us to let go of church, and certainly we need time for rest and vacations and other things, but I want to challenge you to be even more committed this summer, to be intentional about drawing that water from that deep well. I know it's easy sometimes to let go of church, and especially over summer. And the more we do that, the more we're likely to be encouraged to build and maintain fences. And we forget about the deep living water that we so desperately need. Summer can easily make us parched. And that's our challenge, not to relax and let go of God and church, but rather to fill up more and more of this living water, where we become more like Jesus, where we break bread together and pray and give to those in need and worship together here in church. When Jesus began his church, he created a place full of deep wells. He didn't build fences. That's what the world does. Jesus imagined you and I part of all this, drawing out the living water of God, and as we head toward this summer, we need to come week after week to drink the living water that Jesus provides. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us affirm our faith by standing and saying the Apostles' Creed that's printed in our bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,